May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. See, the former things will come to pass. A new thing I now declare. This season of Epiphany Tide is a time of intense focus on revelation and recognition. We focus our hearts and minds on who Jesus is. In his baptism, he is revealed to us as God's Son. As the heavens are opened, God reveals himself as Father. That revelation is made possible through the power of the anointing Spirit. That revelation enables a two-way recognition. In recognizing Jesus as our Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all things, we also recognize who we are. God's revelation of himself enables us to glimpse our true identity. We recognize ourselves as God's children, a new creation, adopted, reborn, beloved. Matthew identifies Jesus as God with us. Now, on the bank of the River Jordan, he is on the cusp of his public ministry. He is recognized by John. John, who had leapt for joy in Elizabeth's womb as she greeted Mary. He had dedicated his life to attentiveness to God. He was called to prepare the way, to challenge the people to turn to God. He embodied what repentance looked like. His curious dress, lifestyle, and diet demonstrated a life lived in holiness, a life lived as gift. He proclaimed that the kingdom of heaven had come near, that injustice would be overturned. He proclaimed the need for repentance, the requirement to live lives which made restoration and justice possible. People responded to his proclamation. They came to him in the wilderness. In that space, they confessed their sins. They were baptized, making space for God's kingdom. John may not have been surprised to see Jesus among the crowds, but he was surprised at the manner of his approach. In their exchange, there is both recognition and revelation. Why should you need baptism, says John? To fulfill all righteousness, says Jesus. John knows him and is humbled. Jesus comes in humility and reveals himself. Jesus' first words could be seen as a summary of his vocation. His words echo the promises of Isaiah. They speak of renewal and hope. He is concerned for what is right. He speaks of God's just and loving purpose. In baptism, Jesus identifies himself with us. He shows solidarity with our humanity. He stands alongside us in our frailty and longing and need. He identifies himself as God with us as he embarks on the path of self-giving love. Righteousness is costly. Isaiah conveys a vision of its fulfillment, which is universal in scope. The nations long for just and gentle rule, and it is the servant of God who brings forth justice for the nations. The manner of his coming is surprising. He does not raise his voice. He does not break the bruised reed or quench the burning wick. He works quietly and gently, attending to our vulnerability and hurt, to our feeble efforts and extinguished hope. Such gentleness is not weak. He will not grow faint or be crushed. He will bring forth justice. In fulfilling righteousness, Jesus embodies in his life, death, and resurrection all that God's servant people were called to be. He is the light to lighten the nations, the glory of his own people. He brings liberation and deliverance. The Magi recognized that glory made manifest in the Christ child. And now Jesus himself gives voice to his vision and purpose. In his speaking of the fulfillment of what is right and just, there is continuity with John's vision for challenge and renewal. Just as the Spirit hovered over the face of the earth, bringing life out of the depths, so now the Spirit descends. New life will come into the world through Jesus Christ. But there is tremendous cost to bringing about this new creation. And so, as well as speaking, Jesus hears. He hears words of deep assurance. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Words which assure him of his purpose, words revealing God as Father, words accompanied by the Spirit's power, words heard by the Son. To be God's beloved Son is to be the anointed servant King, the suffering Messiah, the one who does not cling to equality with God, but who empties himself in love on the cross for our sake. There is revelation and recognition, assurance and service. For us, baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Spirit, those words also assure us of love. Those words also call us anew to walk with Christ, to follow him without fear, to follow him in love, in the path of service. To walk that path calls us to repentance, knowing whose children we are. The American theologian John Howard Yoder wrote in The Politics of Jesus that to repent is not to feel bad, but to think differently. The language we use about what this means in baptism and in the living out of our lives is vitally important. Part of what our liturgists are grappling with is how to make that reality intelligible. It should resonate with beauty and challenge. How do we speak not just of a serious moment of commitment and response to God's love, but also acknowledging the transforming power of God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's yes to us? Perhaps there is something about the wording of rejecting evil in its many forms with all its empty promises, that draws us into an understanding of what this lifelong walk with God entails. It doesn't identify evil as something abstract or transfer responsibility to the personification of the devil. Instead, it reminds us that evil is something that we ourselves participate in collectively. Steve McQueen's adaptation of Solomon Northup's 12 Years a Slave conveys brutality and complicity alongside resilience and compassion. The film ends not in sentimentality, but with Solomon's struggle with others for justice and the abolition of slavery. It is important not just because we need to know what happened then, but so that we can resist all that dehumanizes now. If you heard an interview with a vicar in Lincoln on Radio 4 this morning, you would have heard of the human cost in violence, addiction, and oppression of trafficking and slavery today. That cost, borne by victim and parish alike. We are called in our own time to follow the one who fulfills what is right. Doing so gives us a sense of purpose and fellowship. Doing so involves cost. And we do so because we have a share in God's initiative in the world. John's message was urgent and compelling, not because he offered a better way to live, but because the kingdom of heaven is near. The initiative is God's. To quote Stanley Hauerwas, such a kingdom does not come through our trying to be better people. Rather, the kingdom comes, making imperative our repentance. He notes that John's call was not for those who repent to change the world, but he calls for repentance because the world is being changed by the one who is to come. In baptism, Jesus is revealed as who he is. In ours, we recognize who we are called to be. In coming from Galilee to be baptized by John, Jesus stands alongside us in the frailty of our nature. The one announced by John, the one for whom John prepares the way, comes in great humility as the very embodiment of God's justice and righteousness. His mission will not be easy. The kingdom comes through his presence, by his life, death, and resurrection. Today we recall the beginning of that journey. We also recall our own baptism, not as a past event, but as participation in the divine life. We continue to know freedom from sin and the power of forgiveness. We continue to know the joy of living in love rather than fear. That means living differently, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. God's kingdom has come. We are called to work within it, to make it manifest. The worship and witness of this cathedral church gives us opportunities to celebrate all that is good in human life. It also offers space for dialogue and challenge. Here, relationships can be nurtured as we grow in affection and understanding, patiently engaging with our differences. Here, wisdom is pursued alongside our colleagues in the university and other institutions. And those gifts break through in our own lives, encounter by encounter. In each conversation and interaction, we offer encouragement and challenge. Today, Jesus is revealed as God's Son. We are to recognize him as our Lord and to know ourselves as beloved children. As we celebrate this Eucharist, receiving the gifts of God's love to sustain and transform us, may we be kept faithful to our calling as adopted children. The former things have passed. God is at work in us and in our world, declaring new things. Amen.